We're delighted to have among us somebody who is a pastor and has been a company executive. So he, in a sense, he is a counterpart, an American counterpart to Pastor Stolwerk. Please welcome the Reverend Paul Woods, administrative pastor of our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Solon, Ohio, who has been vice president of personnel for university hospitals in Cleveland and vice president of human resources for Nestle USA. Pastor, please join us here.
Good afternoon. When I first read Reverend Stolwerk's paper, I was struck by the reverse symmetry of our lives. He moved from parish ministry to the business world, and I moved from the business world to parish ministry. He works for Gecologic, a German company. I worked for Nestle, which was at that time managed by a German managing director. He entered the field of human resources, and I left the field of human resources. He went through a period, he says, of Anfechtung while he was in parish ministry. I went through a period of Anfechtung while I was in the business world. And then I came to Concordia Seminary and found out what Anfechtung really means. When I was considering leaving the business world to enter the ministry, I spoke to a couple of close Christian friends to sort of test my reasoning on them. I was old enough to be suspicious of my own motives, because there's always a bit of the grass is greener syndrome, I think, in all of us. And when one of my friends asked me why I wanted to enter the ministry, I said, I want to work for God full time. And he said, you already are. So I didn't change my mind about entering the ministry, but it did stick with me. And later when I read Wingren's book, Luther on Vocation, what my friend had said to me came back to me, that God, in fact, calls all of us to a certain vocation, and that vocation is the office or the station through which God wants us to serve our fellow human being. Then we can all serve God full time, no matter what our calling. This seems to me to be very relevant to Reverend Stolwerk's thesis, since God works through offices in the left-handed kingdom to make his love known, then why not through influential offices, such as the CEO of a company or the human resources director. I can think of no good reason to say nay to that, and from what we've heard, apparently God is working through those offices very effectively in Germany. Our problem with the idea, assuming that we have one, and I think perhaps we do, comes from our distinctly American notion that the left-handed kingdom has to be kept absolutely separate from the right-handed kingdom. We call this the separation of church and state, but the separation really goes far beyond church and state. Since the 1940s, courts in the USA have increasingly limited religious activity in the workplace. Current restrictions include prohibiting employees from keeping Bibles on their desks, displaying religious material in non-private workspace, discussing religious beliefs with clients, and holding prayer meetings on the interior of the premises. Now, while these legal restrictions apply technically and for the most part only to public employees, that is, government employees, private companies are increasingly following in their footsteps and adopting similar restrictions on religious activity in their workplaces. In short, the legal climate in the United States is becoming increasingly hostile to religious activity in the private workplace, just as it is in the public square. But the hostility to religious activity in America goes beyond the sphere of legal opposition. America has always had its share of what Schleiermacher called cultural despisers of religion, beginning with our founding fathers. I'd like to read you just a few quotations. Quote, "One day the dawn of reason and freedom of thought in the United States will tear down the artificial scaffolding of Christianity, and the day will come when the mystical generation of Jesus by the supreme being as his father in the womb of a virgin will be classed with the fable of the generation of Minerva in the brain of Jupiter." Thomas Jefferson. Quote, "Religious bondage shackles and debilitates the mind and unfits it for every noble enterprise." James Madison, third president of the United States. Fourth, of all the systems of religion that were ever invented, there is none more derogatory to the Almighty, more unedifying to man, more repugnant to reason, and more contradictory in itself than this thing called Christianity. Thomas Paine. These cultural despisers of religion, and especially of Christianity, and their contemporary avatars in the secular academia, in the mass media, and in the entertainment industry, have wielded and continue to wield considerable influence over popular attitudes toward religion. In sum, both culturally and legally, America is becoming more and more hostile to religion, and especially to Christianity. Whereas in Eastern Germany, as we heard this morning, the hostility toward Christianity took the form of an organized political form of opposition, in the USA, it's taken a more amorphous, yet I think equally virulent form, and that is that of secular humanism and of the epistemological nihilism that's known as postmodernism. In any event, the workplace is becoming a more and a more difficult place to bring the gospel, or to witness, or as we like to say, to share the Word of God. The third item I'd like to respond to in Reverend Stoerck's paper is the issue he raises about trust. I couldn't agree more that trust is the most desirable attitude that a company or that any organization can cultivate among its employees. However, trust between workers and management is a very, very difficult thing to gain, and it's even more difficult to maintain in the workplace. And that's because there's almost an elemental conflict between the spirit of free enterprise and the spirit of Christian charity. Now, please understand, I'm not alleging that capitalism or free enterprise is in any sense unchristian, or for that matter, that entrepreneurs are more rapacious or immoral or exploitative than plumbers or farm workers or beekeepers. I'm talking about organizations, not about individuals. Individual human beings are capable of self-sacrifice. Organizations are not. Organizations are behavioristic. They evolve and they behave and they change in direct proportion to how they are rewarded or how they are punished. A for-profit enterprise will seek profit. That's a tautology. It will not sacrifice profits, at least not for very long, for any reason other than the expectation of a greater return on its investment down the road. This is neither moral nor immoral. It is simply a matter of economic reality, and it has nothing to do with ethics or with theology. And I'd like to give you an example. The company I used to work for, Nestle, is a Swiss company, was exceptional by American standards in its emphasis on long-term growth rather than short-term profits. When we would present our annual plan to our Swiss managers, their first question always was, "What have you sacrificed out of your five-year plan to make this work?" Since its stock wasn't publicly traded, there was none of the quarterly profit pressure that drives the average American publicly traded company. And a direct result of this was that we could take a long-term view in how we managed our human resources, not because we were nicer guys than those down the block, but because the corporate culture was leveraged on long-term growth rather than what in the States we automatically call the fast buck. Now, from what I hear, things have changed. The stock is traded publicly, there is pressure for a quicker return on investment, and there is a relentless emphasis on cost-cutting in all areas. Now, since human resources is the largest cost center of virtually any company, you can easily guess at the results. When the employees of a company begin to perceive that the company is defining its best interests in a way that is contrary to their own best interests, then trust begins to evaporate, and pretty soon it's every man for himself. A company can spend literally decades developing trust in its workforce, and then a single individual at the top who defines company interest in a different way than his forebears can squander that trust in a very short period of time. It's part of the ongoing dynamics of the management of companies. Bottom line is that the allure of the quick buck is a continual temptation for companies in a free enterprise society, and it's impossible to practice Christian values and charity and pursue the quick buck at the same time. I don't mean this to sound cynical, merely realistic in terms of what companies face in the way of managing their company according to ethical and Christian values. It seems to me to be remarkably ironic that in our country, where the free expression of religion is guaranteed by the first and least ambiguous amendment of our Constitution, there is increasing de facto and de jure suppression of religious activity in the workplace, while in Germany, where there are two state churches, such expression seems to be freely allowed. The unhappy truth is, however, that due to these legal and cultural and economic forces, evangelism is increasingly unwelcome in the American workplace. One is almost reduced to the body language of Christian witness rather than preaching the word. While I've never been a fan of St. Francis' exhortation to preach the gospel at all times, if necessary, use words, I feel that in America, at least, it may be the only efficacious way in the future to bring the gospel into the workplace, to present the witness of living an upright life, to be scrupulously honest in all of your dealings, to place a positive construction on your fellow employees' motives, to treat your subordinates as beings of infinite worth. These are the silent ingredients of effective witness in the secular workplace. Such behavior will create questions over time in the minds of those who observe you. And then one day, when the question is asked, "Why do you act this way?" you can answer, "The Lord has begun a good work in me and will carry it through to the day of completion." So much for Christianity in the American workplace. I have high hopes and great excitement for the ferment of evangelical Christianity in Reverend Stolberg's country. I hope and pray that what we in America would call a spirit of awakening will continue to burgeon and to flourish in Germany, and I also hope and pray that that spirit will soon return to America. Thank you.